All right, so first of all, I would like to thank the organizers for the kind invitation. Right. So the discrete symmetry, CP and T, or some people call it PCT, plays a very significant role for physicists. But for common people, PCT actually is also very essential, especially we are here in California. Even though the pursuits, the landscape of the two pursuits look very different, actually they share two common features. First of all, both are non-trivial. And secondly, one may easily get lost if one is not careful. And this point will become more apparent later, I hope. All right, so time reversal symmetry is conserved in many areas of physics. It is violated by the second law of thermodynamics. On the other side, the equivalent of CP symmetry, if you believe CPT, CP is violated in particle physics. And however, its fundamental origin is still unknown. So this would be one of the key discussions that I would like to have in this talk. So CP violation, it is one of the three Sakharov's condition which is required to explain dynamically the asymmetry between matter and antimatter. So far, it is only observed in the flavor sector. Specifically, so far we only established experimentally that delta CKM is a major source of CP violation in the standard model. So of course, you've already heard a lot. There are a lot of experimental efforts trying to search for a new source of CP violation in the neutrino sector. And if such source is found, what that means is that the phase in the PMNS matrix, which is the analog of the CKM matrix in the neutrino sector, is non-zero. And then you, of course, will wonder, fundamentally, what is the origin of this non-zero phase, as well as the non-zero CKM phase, all right? So here I will concentrate on a new origin, possible origin for CP violation that is coming from discrete symmetry. In particular, these are discrete family symmetries which were suggested by the observed large neutrino mixing angles. And this type of scenarios are very attractive because the neutrino mixing angles can also come from the group's theoretical classical and coefficients. And therefore, this is actually a very predictive framework. All right, so what has been shown here is a recent, if not the latest, three neutrino global analysis that combine all the experimental results, including reactor experiments and T2K. And the point here is not to bug you with all the detailed numbers, but to draw you to the attention that now we are already entering into the precision era by making use of the, what that means is, by making use of the global analysis, we can already extract some non-trivial information, in particular, the expectation for the direct CP phase. So here from the global fit, you know, the delta phase is already be indicated to be non-zero, and it's close to minus pi over 2, which is very close to the direct search, the recent T2K result, where there's a hint of delta being at minus pi over 2. And this result has been holding up for, the past probably 2 years or so. And of course, there are a lot of unknown neutrino properties that we already heard about. But all this data suggested the following two challenges for the theorist. The first challenge concerned the fact that neutrino masses are so much smaller compared to the charged fermion masses. And the second aspect of this is the observed disparity among all the elementary fermions. So where does this pattern come from? And the second aspect concerns the flavor structure that we observed, where in the little mixing matrix, the mixing angles are very large, while in the quark sector, the mixing angles are very small. So in the Stanley model, there's, of course, the so-called fermion mass hierarchy problem is not really explained, but they are accommodated by a large number, and by large, I mean 22 free parameters in the Yukawa sector. So the question naturally would be whether there is a more simpler organization principle that helps us to understand this pattern. So first aspect, the smallness of neutrino masses. There exist different mechanisms to understand the smallness of the neutrino masses that differ. So it depends upon whether neutrinos are Majorana fermions or Dirac fermions. These mechanisms differ in their scale of the operator where neutrino masses are generated, and they differ in the suppression mechanism. So the simplest way where neutrino masses can be generated is by this famous Weinberg operator. So by requiring that mu is light enough, and by requiring that the coupling constant is of order one, this indicates a high energy scale on the order of 10 to the 14 GeV, which is necessary to suppress the neutrino masses. And once again, the scale is very close to the grand unification scale. And given that this operator violates the lepton number, neutrinos are Majorana fermions. So this so-called CISO mechanism is naturally accommodated in grand unification theory, in which the origin of this heavy scale, more specifically, the U1 minus L is predicted. And secondly, this exalted protor or mediator particles that has to come into this blob also are predicted in many gut theories. So for example, in the case of SL10, which already seen before this morning, the right-handed neutrino is naturally predicted. All right. So what if neutrinos are Dirac fermions? Even though this scenario is less known, but I think one has to remain open-minded, meaning the possibility of neutrinos being Dirac fermions. So the challenge here is to explain then why this Yukawa coupling constant is small. And there's actually exists a various Q mechanism that can be done. And one example here is that the smallness of the neutrino masses can actually be related to supersymmetry breaking. So in this mechanism, before the SUSY is broken, neutrinos are massless. And after SUSY breaking is taking place, this generates an effective neutrino Dirac Yukawa coupling, which is proportional to the SUSY breaking scale naturally, because it's induced by SUSY breaking. And the scale says SUSY breaking scale to the Planck scale. Of course, the question is whether the scenario can have a symmetry reason, namely, why, for example, why the neutrino masses are absent before the SUSY is broken. And it turns out that such conditions can be realized in, say, minimal supersymmetry model if you have a discrete ZnR symmetry. So again, I'm not going into the detail of the model building, but just to draw to the interesting fact that here, of course, these are Dirac neutrinos with naturally small masses. And delta L equals to operators are absent. And that's why you don't have the Majorana masses. And this fact actually is valid to all orders. So you don't have neutrinoless double beta decay to all order. But does this mean that lepton number is conserved? The answer is no. Actually, you get lepton number violation at the fourth order, meaning you get delta L equals four operators, even though delta L equals two operators are forbidden to all order. And this leads to a new process, a lepton number violating process, which is the neutrinoless quadruple beta decay. So of course, I mean, given how hard it is to search for a neutrinoless double beta decay, this of course is, you know, probably no hope. But nevertheless, it's interesting. So now coming to flavor structure, which is my main topic here, there exist two approaches. Of course, you can take the attitude that, you know, everything is just like throwing the dice. So this is the so-called anarchy approach, where you don't really try to explain anything, but you know, the number, the Yukawa coupling just comes out the number they are. But what I would like to prescribe, and I think this, most of the people in this room would agree, is that it is more appealing if we can resort to some underlying symmetry that explains the observed pattern. All right. So the approach actually is based on a combination of, you know, combining a grand unified symmetry such as SU5 or SL10, and in combination with a so-called family symmetry, which acts horizontally. And this is sort of intuitive, because in order to explain the flavor structure, you really need some symmetry to distinguish the three generations. And the family symmetry here I will be concentrating on is discrete symmetry. And I should mention that there have been a lot of activities trying to construct models of this type. And here I just give you a list of discrete symmetries that have been considered. And all of these activities are, as I mentioned earlier, suggested by the observed large neutrino mixing angles. So one very famous example is a so-called tri-bimaximal neutrino mixing, even though it's already been ruled out. But as you know, as a demonstration purpose, I think this is actually a pretty good example. So this is a tri-bimaximal mixing pattern, where it predicts the following mixing angles. So the atmospheric mixing is maximal, and the solar mixing, given in terms of sine squared theta solar, this is 1/3. And what kills this scenario is a prediction of 0 theta 1/3. And if you take these numbers and compare with the best fit value from a global fit, actually this fit pretty well, except for the theta 1/3. So this TBM mixing pattern can actually arise from a very simple group, a so-called A4, which is a invariant group of a tetrahedron. So basically, the neutrino mass models in this based on A4 group is predicted to be this type. And you just want to draw to your attention that in this mass matrix, there are only two free parameters. And what you see, this special number 2 or minus 1 or plus 1, these coefficients, are the Clutch-Golden coefficients. Yes? So that's a crucial part. So once you diagonalize this matrix, what you found is the TBM mixing pattern, regardless what values of these three parameters are. So this is one example that the mixing angles are predicted by the group theoretical CG coefficient. And this is what makes this scenario so attractive, because it's predicted. All right, so what happened in this type of scenario is a new possibility that CP violation can actually arise through the complex Clutch-Golden coefficients of the discrete groups. So if tomorrow D2K really has a, you know, phi sigma discovery of a non-zero delta phase, what does that mean? What that means is the mass matrices for the neutrinos, or for quarks, of course, here in the quark sector, are complex. And you can then go ahead and ask, where does this complexity come from, fundamentally? Conventionally, given that this mass matrices depends on the Yukawa interaction, conventionally, there are two ways where this complexity can come from. The so-called explicit CP violation is a scenario where you have complex Yukawa coupling constants, so this explicit CP violation. On the other hand, CP violation can also be spontaneous, meaning they can come from the complex scalar V. Yeah? But in some settings that are based on discrete family groups, there is a new origin, namely, CP violation can come from the complex CG coefficients. And this, of course, is explicit CP violation, because the Lagrangian is already not invariant under CP. In this case, CPV in both the quark and lepton sectors can purely come from, once again, complex CG coefficients. So the idea is that CG coefficients in the non-abelian discrete symmetries can give rise to relative strength and phases in the Yukawa matrix elements. And therefore, they predict mixing angle and phases and even the mass hierarchy. So this is just a toy example to illustrate this idea. Suppose I have a discrete group G. I have two generations of left-handed fields, L1 and L2. They transform as a doublet under this family symmetry group, where similarly, the first and second generation of right-handed fields form a doublet. And the standard model Higgs is a pure singlet. And suppose in order to form an invariant under G, I need to couple this whole junk to a triplet scalar field, so-called flavon. These are like flavor Higgs. Which is a triplet in order to make this invariant operator. Yes? So there's only one operator, one coupling constant y. And now I can write out this whole thing in the component form, and the relative strengths are determined by the CG coefficients. These are what CG coefficients are. And suppose there is a ZC symmetry that tells us that all the three elements in this triplet flavon Higgs are equal. And then you then get this complex effective mass matrix, where the relative strengths are determined, or relative strength and relative phases are determined by the Kapsch-Golden coefficients. So this is the idea. All right, so once again, complex CG leads to the fact that CP symmetry cannot be defined for a certain group. And therefore, you have CP violation from group theory. So let me just go a bit further. So what this means is that the group transformation and physical CP transformation do not commute for a certain group. Then you can ask, what are the properties, or what are the groups that satisfy this condition, right? But so what this means, this non-commuting means, is that if I start out with my Lagrangian L, I take a usual, you know, QFT canonical CP transformation. This could map my Lagrangian to something which is not invariant. But for a certain group, if I perform an additional unitary transformation, it is possible to take L prime back to L. And this combined operation correspond to some automorphism U, all right? But there are certain conditions that you have to satisfy in order for this automorphism to correspond to a physical CP transformation. And that is the following. Where you have to be class inverting involuntary automorphism of group G. And for certain groups, there is no such automorphism exist. And therefore, in generative setting, a physical CP violation occurs for those groups. And here are just two examples of such non-abelian discrete groups. More generally, all the finite groups can be classified into three types. What we call type 2A, these are the groups where you can find the basis where all the Kapsch-Golden coefficients are real. So those are naturally called the CP bases. And therefore, you can just perform the usual QFT, you know, CP transformation, and no confusion there. You don't get lost. Oops, sorry. And there's also what we call the type 2A group. Yes. Where there's no CP bases. So you cannot find any bases where CGs are real. However, for such groups, there exists class-inverting automorphism so that you can still define physical CP invariants. All right? So yes, for type 2B group, that's also fine. But for type 1 group, these are the group which do not possess class-inverting class-inverting involuntary automorphism. So in the generic setting, CP you cannot define physical CP invariance even at the Lagrangian level. So that leads to calculable CP phases for various physical processes. I'm done. So come to my summary. So far, the fundamental original fermion mass hierarchy and flavor mixing is still unknown. And neutrino masses is one of the evidence of physics beyond the standard model. And here I have two main messages. One concerns Dirac versus Maronov nature of neutrinos. And I think one should remain open-minded, even though I know some theorists really religiously believe that neutrinos must be Maronov. But I think one should remain open-minded. And even for the Dirac case, there exists a scenario that naturally suppresses the neutrino masses. And the second message concerns symmetries, especially discrete symmetries, that's what I concentrated on here. They can provide an understanding of the pattern of fermion masses and mixing. And in this framework, they combine gauss symmetry and the discrete family symmetry. This leads to predictive power. And I think the whole point is not really to predict, you know, what value of the delta phase is, but rather to test the correlations that are provided by the symmetries of the model. So the symmetry tests. So correlations is really the key words. And here are a set of processes in which correlations can be established. And more specifically, we are very excited about this possible new origin for CP violation, which is afforded in the settings based on non-abelian discrete groups, where for type 1 group, namely for a group that do not have class inverting involuntary automorphisms, in the generic setting, physical CP transformation cannot be defined at the Lagrangian level. All right, so here we have the group theory CP violation, where we have some understanding of where CP violation in baryon sector, quark sector, and lepton sector can arise, and of course is relevant for baryogenesis. And of course, one interesting question is whether making use of such automorphism, one can also have some control for the strong CP problem. And of course, such a non-abelian discrete group may have some stringy or higher dimensional origin. And this is my very, very last slide. So just some small advertisement. This is one of the two major neutrino meeting next year. It will be in Irvine. Here's a list of topics that I think many of you might find interesting. And I will just stop here. Thank you.
Thank you.
So thanks for the very nice talk. So these discrete generation symmetry groups, do you envision them for the quarks and the leptons together? That's the idea?
Yes, that's the hope. So we have, so far we only construct a, you know, if you want to address CP, we don't have a realistic model yet. Okay. But there exists, grand unified models based on discrete family symmetry for both quarks and leptons.
And you mentioned that there was one model, some
tri-maximal, yes.
You said it was ruled out, but are these Clebsch-Gordan coefficients going to constrain the mixing angles to all orders, or is that just a tree-level calculation?
Very good questions. Right, so there are, of course, additional corrections, higher-order corrections, and there could also be corrections to the kinetic term, or in the supersymmetric setting, the so-called Kähler correction. And actually, by properly include those corrections, one is able to revive even the simplest A4 model. But those corrections also come with some arbitrary coefficient, which we don't know how to calculate. And therefore, the models become less predicted.
Because the precision, you have three-digit precision on the prediction.
Right, so forget about the three digits. So there are intrinsic theory uncertainty there. You need to properly include those corrections.
So if in a decade or so we measure the Dirac CP phase, mm-hmm. how would this influence the various discrete symmetries you've looked at?
Right, so again, I come back to my comments about the correlation. Right, so let me give you one example. I actually have some example here. Right, so for example, because of the small number of input parameters you have in such kind of model, you get some rules, yes? So here's one possible sum rule between the solar mixing angle, and this is what TBM tell you, which is 1/2. This is a quark mixing angle, Kibibo angle, and delta phase. So by making use of, and of course, you know this pretty well by now, you know this to very high precision, and you can constrain delta that way. So this is another example that both quark and lepton mixing parameters are involved. And of course, this is just one example based on this particular A4 or double covering of A4 type symmetries. And you go to other type of symmetries, they provide different type of sum rules.
So if you get these complex Yukawas to the neutrinos via this group theory arguments, do you also get complex Yukawas to quarks and charged leptons?
Absolutely. Yeah, that's the idea.
But the constraints on these are very severe, right?
I know the delta phase in CKM matrix, which is big. You know, it's, say, 90 degrees, 72 degrees. And how do you get this number from, you know, from underlying symmetry? So you have existing constraint, but your model would be constrained by those existing data.
I see. Okay, thanks.
And of course, it may also predict some new processes that you can test. So I don't have a realistic model to point to you what would be the process to look at, but in principle, they exist.
So I guess I have one more. May I ask myself, so in regards to this novel group origin or CP violation, it's quite possible when we determine all the parameters in nature mm-hmm. that it simply will not be compatible with such a structure?
Right, then you rule out the model.
So how do you, how would you ultimately falsify whether or not the group theory picture would be operative, simply by looking at the final pattern of data?
The existing data that constrain your model, and the model, of course, also predicts some new processes where you can test.
Okay.
And so far, I don't have a model, you know. So there's still,
we have to wait for your next talk.
You said repeatedly that you didn't have a concrete realistic model yet.
We don't have a realistic model yet, so I cannot even predict, you know, the leptonic CP phase, for example.
So what is the biggest obstacle to getting one?
You have to satisfy a lot of conditions here. You have to find a group which possess this cross-inverting voluntary automorphism. And we have looked at delta 27. This already is quite bigger group. And what you have to do is you need to, first of all, get all the mixing angles right. You need to get both delta m squared right. And in such setting, you predict, then you can ask what are the predictions for the CP phases. So it's really, it's in model building details that's pretty hard.
I had a general question. I sort of remember that the CP violation in the quark sector is kind of not suitable to explain the matter-antimatter symmetry.
Because it's too small, right?
Is it that it's too small or that it's like...
Because the mixing is too small.
Is it the smallness, or is it in itself not suitable? It's the smallness.
It's just small, right. So if I remember correctly, the amount of baryogenesis is some, correct me if I'm wrong, but it's 20 orders of magnitude below. It's predicted to be 10 to the minus 28. for what? Minus 18? Minus 18, yeah, sorry. Yes. So this just way too small. Where, you know, the neutrino, I mean, the new CP violating sources in the neutrino sector, of course, once you go through the leptogenesis scenario, the Laplace parameter spaces.
It could be that CP violation, if it was larger.
Right.
No.
Yeah. It just the number turns out to be, you know.
Yeah, that brings me to my question. If you have a Peccei Quinn symmetry breaking so that you would have a theta term, a small theta term, how would this fit into this picture? I mean, you would have CP violation from a strong symmetry that comes on top of that, right? I mean, the strong CP problem.
Right, but the spherum processes, this acts only in the electroweak sector. So.
Yeah, but in the quark sector, of course, it will come on top. So you have some freedom.
But these are two disjoint sources of CP violation. And here, what can contribute to baryogenesis, that's from the so-called weak phase.
Now we'll take a break and start again promptly.